Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Kate.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast, Celebrate Yellow Tasks, part one of two.
The questions this cast answers are, how can I motivate my team to meet deadlines? How can I reduce surprise missed deadlines and deliverables? And what is a great way to help my projects stay on time?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Are you ready to roll into 2025 with your managers and professionals ready to tackle results with either management or communication behaviors? We still can get you in this year. Don't be shy to reach out to Maggie to see how we can make this happen. Organizational training made cost-effective and convenient for your teams delivered by Manager Tools. Send an email to Maggie today at maggie@manager-tools.com for more information.
Today, we're talking about a little bit about motivation, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. In this guidance, we're going to talk about how to change the ways you interact with your team when it comes to keeping work on time, which I have to believe so many managers, professionals care deeply about.
Yeah.
We have some guidance here. Most managers do it wrong, but it's really not your fault. You're just following the practices and, you know, the procedures is a strong word, that we've learned from managers before us.
Yeah. This, like, basically all the other topics wasn't taught to you until now. Mm-hmm.
You learned it through exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to make your projects and work tracking more efficient and effective, easier, faster, with better results, you've got to be willing to celebrate negative reports about status. And we're going to teach you how in detail because it's us and we're Manager Tools.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited to talk about also deadlines and deliverables,
yeah,
which both Sarah and I are super into.
I think all managers are, right? Folks, if you're a manager, deadlines and deliverables are at the heart of all of your work. A horseman's law of project management makes the core parts of our work, who does what by when. And inherent in this law is that deadlines drive behavior. And most of us will always prioritize work that is due today or this week over something that's due next week or 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, deadlines drive behavior.
Yeah, exactly. So as managers, we're responsible for our own work, our own deadlines, and deliverables. But as managers, we are also responsible for the deadlines and deliverables of those on our team. Even though we're not doing the work ourselves in all cases, if those people report to us, those deliverables are ours to deliver upon.
Mm-hmm. And yet, it's pretty unlikely. We would bet that you probably haven't ever been on a project. Anybody listening hasn't ever been on a project where all the deadlines were met.
Mm-hmm.
That's not common.
Yeah, exactly. It's very common that deadlines and deliverables are missed.
Yeah. And no one's perfect and things happen for sure. But human imperfection doesn't really tell the whole story about this. Systems and behaviors around deadlines are often counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to help you.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a very topical topic. Oh, that's the wrong thing to say. It's very timely at all times for all managers. This is something that is inherent in everyone's day-to-day all the time. So this cast is something that all managers can use whenever, because we're constantly dealing with this barrage of deadlines and deliverables and the responsibility of tracking those deadlines and deliverables. So our outline for today, we're going to start with step zero, creating public tracking of deliverables. Then step one, stop shooting the messenger. Step two, say good. Then talk about and celebrate yellow deliverables. Offer resources and ask for more frequent updates. And keep track of deadline performance.
Mm-hmm. Step zero is the one that gives me the most heartburn because I am so nervous that there is a chance that out there, someone doesn't have public tracking of deliverables.
Well, not after today's cast, Kate. Don't you worry about it.
That's the dream. Step zero, create public tracking of deliverables. Mm-hmm. We have previously published extensive guidance on project management and general work tracking, reporting, communication. we encourage you to use our map of the universe on the website, where there is an entire top level node on project management with multiple podcasts, roughly maybe 50.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On basics, meetings, reporting, feedback. We really want to help you with work tracking and reporting thanks to the digitization of the workplace. It's funny, Sarah, I'm listening to the Acquired podcast right now, episode about the history of Microsoft.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is incredibly interesting. I should warn everybody who's listening to this, the episode about Microsoft is 8 hours long.
Oh, wow.
So I don't want to have anybody believe that I am saying to you that you should go listen to it right away, because I'm saying with caution.
With
it
caution.
It is worth a listen.
Uh-huh.
It could take an awareness some time. Of the dedication required. I've been listening to it on, like, at the gym or in the car, things like that. What's interesting is they're talking about Microsoft's inception at a time when the digitization of the workplace is happening.
Yeah.
They're talking about Microsoft. They're talking about Windows 95. They're talking about spreadsheets.
Yeah.
They're talking about how it came to be that the workplace was digitized, which for so many of us, it happened kind of prior to our entry to the workplace.
We don't even know what the world was like before that. There's no way for us to know what things were like without Office 365, without technology. Yeah.
I don't know how, you know.
I don't know either. I don't even know how people lived life. I don't know. I say that all the time. I'm like, how did people even do life? I don't get it.
The things that stand out to me are spreadsheets, which didn't exist, and email. And the thing is, when I entered the workforce, both of those things were already in place.
Yeah, totally.
I've never had to live without those things. Mm-hmm. All of this to say, there have been, in the last 30 years, I want to be very clear, this is 30, 40 years. This is very recent that all of this has happened. Mm-hmm. Like, spreadsheets came to us in the 80s. So let's just keep that in mind. And that has allowed us to track and report work and projects in ways that are dead simple.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, you can have a spreadsheet, you can have a Google sheet, you can have version control, you have all these things, and you have all these options, ways to track. You know, there's the just like conditional formatting of a cell. So if you haven't done so yet, please start requiring public tracking of all projects and deadline status in your team. It takes nothing more than shared Google Sheets or Excel spreadsheets with deliverables listed by due date and individual owners for each deliverable. And you review it weekly at a minimum. And in the late stages, very late stages of more important projects, of deliverable sets, even daily, which is part of maybe your Scrum or Agile meeting, your stand-ups, that kind of thing.
Yep, absolutely.
We have the power.
Oh my gosh, we have the power. And it's so easily at our fingertips. It doesn't take a technology person to help you create this tracking. Again, Kate mentioned our podcast about the task management spreadsheet. And if you have access to that spreadsheet, if you don't, it's because you're not a licensee, so become one. But if you have access to that spreadsheet, which is attached to the podcast for the work management spreadsheet, you have a copy of an Excel spreadsheet to do just this. I mean, we've already created it for you. There are really, to Kate's point, no excuses here. No excuses. And folks, note what Kate said very specifically in terms of the vocabulary she used. Note the portion of the outline that describes this portion of our cast. It doesn't just say track action items or activities. It says public tracking of deliverables. We don't say tasks, because a task is nothing more than the work being done. That's obviously a necessary part of a deliverable, a task is, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the actual reporting. Deliverables are the actual reporting of the work being done that turn them into a deliverable. It's not enough.
Communication.
Yeah, exactly. The communication piece. It's not enough to just ask someone to write some code that accomplishes something, or to create a presentation deck for something, or create a list of responsible parties that need to be contacted for input relative to collaboration on a project. And the reason that's not enough, and we've all experienced this, is because just the task being completed in and of itself doesn't mean that anyone else knows it's been done.
How would they know? I sound like that meme.
I know, right? How would they know? They wouldn't know.
How would they know?
They wouldn't. Exactly. And everyone's work within the organization is interconnected. Mm-hmm. No single task by any one person is the desired result from the work we produce.
Right, like the end goal.
Exactly. We're an organism, right? We all have to do our part to make this organization function. But if you don't know whether or not the person before you did their part, you can't possibly do your part. So it's not just about getting the work done. It's about getting the work done and communicating that you've done your part, and therefore the person behind you in line, the person that's the next step in the process, can act upon that.
I had a session earlier today about communication, and we were talking about the old idiom of everyone's favorite subject is themselves.
Mm, okay.
And I, as a recovering high I, don't love that characterization because I don't believe that it's true that people always talk about themselves. I believe that what's true is that people talk about things that they are interested in.
Yeah. Things they know.
And yeah, if you're not a reader, you don't want to talk about books. If you don't watch Game of Thrones, you don't want to talk about Game of Thrones. I mean, you can listen, sure. But so that idiom, I think, is often misused. And here as well, I always think of an idiom that people use for different reasons, which is if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, does it make a sound? If you did your work and nobody knows that it's done, it is useless. It is.
Yeah. Who cares if your work's done? It's,
right. That tree has fallen, but there's no next step that can be taken.
Mm-hmm.
If someone doesn't know that your work is done, if someone doesn't know that the document's there, it doesn't do them any good and doesn't do you any good. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, no one benefits from work being done and no one being told about it. Not only do you have to know as a manager the status of things, that is to apply resources, to offer help, to report accurately when your boss asks you, but others won't be able to start their dependent tasks without knowledge of the previous task's completion. And yeah, the act of making tasks into deliverables goes to the fundamental nature of human organizations and the communication that allows our work to be connected to other people's work within the organization and thus achieve our goal beyond the singularity of one task itself.
It's also worth thinking about if your team is high functioning already, the fact that, because I have somebody on my team specifically who's always early with their work.
Yep.
Always early. And there's a gap in productivity between the time the work is done and the time the person who needs to use it can utilize it if there's no communication. So if Cassie gets her work done early, which is inevitably what Cassie will do, and I don't know that it's done, which is not something Cassie will do because she also always lets us know, then the work is ready and there's a possible time frame where I could be utilizing that work and information and I'm not. So we have a gap in productivity. So if you're trying to move stuff to the left, deadlines, you know, end goals, things like that, having public reporting allows you to close some of those productivity gaps and in some cases get ahead of deadlines, go green before something goes even yellow, maybe, if you're as fast as Cassie. The communication, though, around that has to occur, or I don't know that it's ready early, right? Like, I have to be aware that something's done. And oftentimes, if you don't have any mechanisms around reporting, the person who's going to utilize the work doesn't find out that it's done until the deadline. Mm-hmm. And it's usually them asking, like, oh, hey, did you get this thing done? As opposed to Cassie does it, she reports it in the sheet, and then I know it's done. So I can start my work early in some cases. That's not the norm, but it is a place in which a high-performing team can close productivity gaps for work that is being transferred from one person to another that has been completed early, even if it's just a day or two. There's no reason why we wouldn't, especially if you're talking to customers and clients, pass that early bird work on to meeting deadlines early for customers or clients, et cetera. So there's that, the communication of it allows for us to close productivity gaps, even in places where we don't really have, we're not late.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not necessarily about being late. It's just about being the most high functioning you can possibly be.
Yes. And if the work is ready to be used,
might as well
and
use
there's
it.
Bandwidth, yeah. We might as well use mm-hmm. it.
Exactly.
And in our mentioned examples, people can't just write the code. They have to upload it and report on the tracking status that it's done. You didn't assign the task of code writing. You assigned the deliverable of upload your completed and tested code to the project repository and mark it done on the shared tracking sheet.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't just assign the task of the creation of a presentation deck. You assigned emailing it to you by a certain date so that you could review it. And folks, that way you don't have to go looking for it. Mm. I mean, how many times have you gone to somebody on your team and be like, hey, is this done? Hey, is this done? Hey, is this done? And all that time that you're spending asking a person whether or not they've done something that they could have so much more easily just told you was done, that inherently in itself causes this delay of work being completed. Mm-hmm. Because the wrong person, the person asking in this case, is having to go ask when the person who knows that information inherently in their mind just does because they're the one that did it, them communicating it is so much faster and so much easier from a productivity standpoint because they know the information. Mm-hmm. It's just one little extra step. A task that's just completed isn't sufficient. The deliverable itself must be completed, which includes the communication of the completion to the appropriate people. That's what makes it a deliverable.
Yeah, you don't assign the task of creating a collaborative, responsible parties list, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You assign the deliverable of posting the list in the project repository or database and marking it done on the tracking sheet by a certain date. Mm-hmm. So it includes the responsibility. Because again, to your point, if I have to go find out when somebody else has the information and they could have just told me, especially in a tracking sheet, right? Because it's a passive form of communication, much like a calendar. I don't have to come find you. I don't have to pick up the phone. I don't have to be in a meeting with you. And listen, if y'all want to be on remote work, which
yeah, sounds like
recently in the news, we have a particular company who has asked their people to come back to work and they've given them 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Which is a while. Warning.
Mm-hmm. It's a while. They said, you don't have to come back till the new year. And that's months from yeah. now. And people are chapped.
Oh yeah, they are.
Here's the thing. If you want to be remote, you better be doing yeah. this. You cannot tell me mm-mm. that you don't do this and you want to be remote. I mean, wow. Mm-mm. Wow, wow, wow. That's
yeah.
not going to work out.
Yeah, it doesn't work out for the individual contributor. It definitely doesn't work out for the manager. And that's why the organizational push to bringing everyone in. The lack mm-hmm. of processes to support remote work. It's not like you can just walk by someone's desk and be like, hey, Kate, did you finish that thing? Mm-hmm. So much easier. You have to have something else.
Totally. And that's why I don't think people always realize this, but there's laws around proximity and communication. Mm-hmm. And the closer you are to somebody, the more often you talk to them. That's a human thing. It's why I end up talking to my neighbor a lot, even though yeah. we're not necessarily close. It happened to me again last night. It's like, yeah. oh, this has been going on for a while. I think I'll go inside now. That's why when you have a reorg in your organization, they move everyone around. They yeah. want you to sit next to the people on your team because they know that forced proximity forces more communication.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And okay, this may sound like a lot, especially for those of you who are not naturally communicative. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to just say, you know what? It's going to be fine. Surely everybody knows this. And we do know this inherently. Maybe you're not thinking necessarily about it on a conscious or regular basis. But if we only assign tasks, what we get is tasks sans communication.
Yeah.
Which is really insufficient for project and frankly, team success. And right, it's like the thing you said, like you go to someone's desk, hey, have you done this? Oh, Kate, did you have it done? Oh, I finished that. And that's so much wasted time of the person who has to come and find out. That's the difference, though, between the effectiveness of a task and a deliverable.
Yes, exactly.
If it's a deliverable, I tell the system, it's done. If it's a task, Sarah has to come find me. And two people are involved. And I got to tell you, the salary doubling idea of what it costs the organization to pay for, did you do your chores, is not something I'm willing to accept into my cycles.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's that.
Completely agreed. And going back to your point, Kate, I think you're right. I think a lot of people might think to themselves, okay, gang, you're really harping on it here. This is easy. This is standard. This is basic stuff. Everyone knows this. Okay, so I ask you that. How many times have you been in a meeting where topics were discussed and tasks assigned, but neither good records were kept and disseminated, or they weren't turned into deliverables? And everyone left and we all thought someone else had it. Someone else had something to do. We weren't responsible for anything. And then nothing got done. Next meeting, reconvene. And it's like, hey, did anybody do their things? It's like, oh, I didn't know. Oh, I was supposed to do something? I didn't know. So now we burnt a week. We wasted an entire week because we left not knowing what the key deliverables were, who was responsible for them, by when they were responsible. And again, as busy as we all are, we can't afford to make our own waste because we don't have clear guidance on deliverables and reporting. And it happens all the time.
It's not my worst nightmare, but it's pretty high up there.
Yeah.
I don't like for stuff to not get done. Okay. So hopefully we've convinced you of the importance of systems. You probably have some of these systems and behaviors in place. Good. Now, consider upgrading the full suite of deliverables, online tools, and reporting. And even if you haven't, you can still move forward on our next recommendations while putting the foundational tools and systems that would be useful in place. One final thing about projects. Can't believe we have to say this. Deadlines matter.
Yeah, they do. They really has, do.
Mm-hmm. Really. It probably hasn't escaped you, right? That like, okay, in like, for example, even in places like sporting events, like the NFL, there are deadlines everywhere. Mm-hmm. I am so nervous. I'm not even going to mention that my team appears to not be terrible this year. Ooh. American Stiebel, I know. It's very scary. I'm very nervous. I feel very cautionary about my optimism. People keep asking me about the games and I am refraining from being gleeful.
Okay.
Because historically, that hasn't worked out for us. So speaking of American style football, quarterbacks are prized for their ability to engineer a game-winning drive before time runs out, to be early. The fourth quarter of every NBA basketball game takes much longer than all the others because all of the timeouts to extend the deadline and add time to the clock, you know, there's a limit to this. Baseball teams have relief pitchers known as closers to keep their lead until time runs out. There's a job in baseball to delay. These sporting events are measured just like our work as professionals. Yep. And time is one measure that we can't recreate. Mm-hmm. We can add money. We can recreate money, strategy, plans, new hires in the personnel area. We cannot get back the time. It is truly the finite resource.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Deadlines matter.
Deadlines matter. So there's that too. As a manager, your success is defined by results and retention. Our Manager Tools license is specifically designed to help you excel in your role with resources that make a real difference, like our interview creation tool. You can effortlessly design structured interviews that identify the best candidates for your team, save time, reduce bias, and make better hiring decisions with this intuitive tool. And get instant support with ChatMT when you need quick advice on handling a tricky situation or an immediate answer to a pressing question. Our AI-powered chatbot provides reliable guidance on the spot, giving you the confidence to tackle any management challenge. Providing effective feedback is crucial, but it can be challenging. Our effective feedback series offers examples of both good and bad feedback and provides opportunities to practice. You'll feel more comfortable and confident the next time you need to give feedback. No matter where you are in your management journey, we offer the tools and support to enhance your effectiveness and propel your career forward. Equip yourself for ongoing success with the right resources at your fingertips. Visit us online today at manager-tools.com/licenses. All right, so that was step zero. Now onto step one. Stop shooting the messenger. And folks, this one is, it's dead simple. When someone comes to you with a problem, do not react negatively. Stop shooting the messenger. This guidance is about moving from reacting negatively about misses and potential misses to more positive in an area of fixing reds and acting quickly on yellow tasks and deliverables.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to move from the reactive to the proactive, getting out ahead of things toward the yellow.
If somebody comes to you with a problem, don't frown, don't attack the mistake, don't show your frustration, don't expound forth upon this. Change your behavior from attacking the past problem to motivating the behavior you want going forward. And thinking about not responding to the negative situation, rather discussing how we can proceed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Get your head out of the past.
Yeah, you can't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're here. And they, to some extent, people don't need necessarily to be shown that they have made a mistake.
Yeah, if you've They're made bringing a mistake, you a problem. Folks, you know you made the mistake, generally.
Right. So there's different versions of this. The most obvious, for our purposes, is someone is already late with their work. They've missed the deadline. Another is that they should know they're going to miss, and they probably do know, and they haven't communicated it to you and others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And we know you're upset when somebody brings you bad news. It's not that you're a robot. You have an emotional response, likely a negative one. They knew what they had to do. They had accepted their task. We hope it was a deliverable, not a task. And they're either behind or they haven't communicated to you the risk of a future miss. Maybe they've already missed. And that's a problem, of course. But we can't do anything about what has already happened. And when we react negatively, shooting the messenger, it decreases the chances that we'll get earlier, better communication next time.
Mm-hmm.
If they know they're going to get in trouble for coming to tell you what's going on, why would they come and tell you when there's going to be another incident where it gets found out, right? Like, it's going to be seen in the tracking sheet. It's going to be seen in the meeting. So why would I come to you and say, hey, I'm going to throw myself under the bus here in preemptively, even though I know on Thursday I'm going to get thrown under the bus.
Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble twice instead.
Right.
That sounds logical.
Yeah, I'd love to just, I'll just get in trouble now because it's my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, y'all, we want earlier communication more often when there's issues.
Yeah.
Frankly, partially because in a lot of cases, you can rally resources. Mm-hmm. You're the manager. You have the ability to say, okay, let's get some more people on this. Let's get some more money at it, whatever. We want to know earlier. We want to know more often. And responding negatively to someone owning up to something early on or apologizing for being late will decrease the chances that they tell us next time.
Right.
If it's like that, I'm not going to make that analogy, but you will have less time to make corrections the later you receive the information about an issue.
Yeah.
So getting more information earlier is better, but heaven forbid that when you get that information, you make it a bad experience for them.
Yeah.
Because the result is going to be, well, I didn't like this, so I'm not going to do that again.
Right. One of the examples, obviously, Kate, you know this, that we do in our Effective Manager Conference. And it's around feedback. It's about delivery of performance communication. And this is one of the trick questions, if you will. So if you're going to come to a conference, plug your ears now because you're going to know the end of the story. But it's essentially an example of your direct is going to miss a deadline tomorrow, but informs you today in advance that the deadline will be missed and provides a new deadline for when it will be completed. And so many managers in the room struggle to give what they know they should give, positive feedback for letting the manager know in advance that there's an issue. So many managers are like, I got to do this. Yeah. You had this week?
I had this this week.
Yeah.
Somebody said to me, Kate, for me, this falls into the negative category because I would like more than 24 hours notice that they're going to miss. One of the things I thought to myself when they said it, and I completely understand. One of the things I thought to myself, though, was it's a fake scenario.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Not real. In real life, you might get 48.
Right.
But yeah, the more time we have to fix it, the better.
Right.
But they also might not know until 24 hours. That's the other thing.
That's the thing. Like that, like I can understand the concern simply because I hear it all the time. But the thinking there is, yes, I know they gave me advanced warning. I wanted more advanced warning. Okay, well, the way to get more advanced warning isn't to make them feel in trouble for giving you the bare minimum.
Right, it's to validate.
You're definitely not going to get to more. Next time, they're going to be like, well, crud, do I want to get in trouble twice? Or you know what I should do? I should just put my head down and I should just power through and I should just get it done. And then if I can hit the deadline, at least I'll get in trouble for having missed. Instead of getting in trouble for letting her know in advance.
But what if instead, when they come to you, you say, okay, thanks, what can we do? Or, okay, good. So that they know that advance notice is valuable. And then you validated a behavior that you want to see again.
Yeah. And now I know it's only 24 hours, person that had a problem with this week. And you are not alone, friend. It's basically all the managers that ever hear the scenario. But now 24 hours in advance is not a lot of time. But now there are two people involved and you're the manager. And you can rally your troops, as Kate mentioned earlier, and you can pull more resources in. And it's only 24 hours, but maybe we can still fix it because it's better than zero, which is the alternative. And we definitely don't want that.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll be back next week with part two.